are listening to Screenfish Radio. I'm your host, Steve Norton. They've called her crazy and said that her life is a circus. Now, the new documentary Framing Britney Spears attempts to unravel the mystery behind Spears' mental health and the controversial conservatorship surrounding her estate. Is she being overprotected because she's not a girl, not yet a woman? Or is she stronger than they say and stuck in a toxic environment? This week, Judith McCartney and Kate Parks from Elevation Pictures drop by to chat about what we feel we're owed by celebrities, the perils of trust, and the separation of the image and the soul. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. I appreciate you coming on, Kate. I think that, well, both of you too, but Judith and I were just talking before that I think this is going to be fun. I just watched it last night and I am I was really intrigued by it. So
it's I rewatched it. I watched it when it first came out and then I rewatched it just to make sure that I remembered. Yeah. So it's definitely great.
Oh, and also Kate, if you want to pump any of the stuff, you can.
Yeah. I'll probably bring it up just because I think it's a good tie-in, but that's all. And I'll probably bring it up just while talking about it.
Are you talking about I Care a Lot?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah, well, it's all, and I'll tell you the interesting connection too, but I won't give any spoilers until you hear it. Yeah.
You can always tell when somebody's working in film because they're worried about giving spoilers, even in just casual conversation. No spoilers. All right. Okay. Welcome everyone to Screenfish Radio. I'm so glad you could join us here this week as we are talking about the documentary that everybody's talking about really is Framing Britney Spears, which I believe aired on HBO and is on Crave here in Canada. And this week we are so excited to have Kate Parks from Elevation Pictures join us. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad you could join us. And Judith McCartney, I'm so glad you could join us, Jude. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
The documentary covers a lot of issues, framing from a cultural perspective and a personal one of how we look at our celebrities. And as always, this podcast is rated S for spoilers. So from you both, Kate, Judith, what did you think of Framing Britney Spears?
Oh, wow. You know what? I love biographies. I love documentaries, especially with my favorite people. And I love Britney Spears and I've watched her grow up and entertain the world. And she's just a delight to see on the stage. Right. But, how did I feel? I think I felt really sad, you know, and almost guilty watching it because I thought to myself, you know, here's a young girl and all of these, you know, famous people, you see them growing up. And it's exciting, but then in the end, you say to yourself, wow, what have we done to them? And so I always love watching these documentaries, but I just felt sad at the end because I thought to myself, there was a potential there, you know, of her being healthier in this landscape. So.
Yeah, I think when I had a lot of friends message me and get excited that the doc and how we were going to watch it in Canada. So when we found out it was on Crave, we were thrilled that we had a chance to see
it.
We'd seen the buzz kind of come out from the US and then it was, you know, there was a lot of anticipation for us to watch it. So, you know, I think we kind of knew what to expect in some of the pieces that we'd seen come out. And I do think I agree. Like it was definitely sad to see how just the media was back then and the questions that there are, you know, were common and that were asked and seeing it all in together and in a film really brought to light, you know, what kind of life that she must have had. I think for, you know, as a documentary, I had a hard time separating my love for Britney Spears and then the like actual filmmaking of the piece, because, you know, I've been a longtime fan, I think. I heard from people I hadn't heard of in years because they know me as a Britney fan. So when this came around, I was, you know, people were connecting and being like, have you seen it yet? You know, so as like a film itself, I think Yeah, it's hard for me to say if it was good. I really enjoyed it, but I think it brought a lot of conversations that were necessary to have. So I think that was really, really good.
This documentary too was very much, I mean, rightfully so, loved, you could tell loved Britney Spears. And I thought, you know, I know you're a bit more of a fan than I am, slightly casually more. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I felt from it is I thought that they dropped a whole lot of interesting conversations surrounding her career that, you know, that I remember having, but not in the way that we would have them now. Mm-hmm. The only thing I wished is it was a little longer, and I wouldn't criticize it and say it's a terrible documentary. I mean, any documentary is from a certain perspective. Mm-hmm. I thought this one was pretty well made, and it really is interesting to me to look back on those years, those early years with modern lenses. Like, you know, the whole conversation around Justin and her, I remember that dearly. And I remember Cry Me a River, when Cry Me a River came out, like, my gosh, everybody was like, yeah, he stuck it to her, you know, or at least my circle of friends, they were like, oh, good for you. And you look back at it now and you're like, yeesh, what were you thinking?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think another criticism that I've heard a lot of people say too is that, you know, was there anybody in her inner circle that really spoke in the doc? Because it ends with all the people that they, you know, reached out to and didn't talk. But again, I had a personal experience with the assistant that they spoke to, Felicia. So I went to actually, I have a friend that lived in Vegas when she was doing one of her residencies there. And we had an opportunity to do a backstage tour. And she said, okay, we have to text Felicia when we get there. And again, a longtime Britney fan, I knew, I was like, it can't be that Felicia, because we just knew her as Britney's assistant. And sure enough, when she came out and it was Felicia, we were like kind of starstruck, to be honest, because, you know, she'd always been somebody that we knew was with Britney's for her entire career. So we got, you know, a backstage tour from Felicia and got to see, you know, where she does her costume changes. And she kind of gave, you know, some personal tidbit facts and saw some drawings that she had, Britney had up that her kids had colored for her that she had where she got her costume changes. So, you know, I think, you know, the criticism of, you know, her mom didn't speak, her brother didn't speak in the doc, but mm-hmm. I really do feel like it's telling that Felicia did talk, because I do think she is somebody that, as far as I know, maintains a relationship with, you know, Britney and her family. So I can't imagine that she wouldn't have had some type of conversation at some point with the inner circle that she was going to be doing this. So that's, you know, that left me with a lot of questions of, you know, how involved was the mom and, you know, what does Lynn know and what she doesn't know. But I thought she was a good voice to sort of speak for all of them, I guess, a safe voice to talk.
Yeah, that's one thing. Nobody ever really spoke about her mom.
Yeah, and it's true.
Yeah. And I think that the movie showed that she was closer to her mom than her father. And so there was no quotes or anything about her relationship to her mom, what sort of role that she played in her profession, what kind of support she was. So those kinds of things.
Yeah, they talked about her mom so little that I kid you not knowing the details of her life, that I actually kept, yeah. Oh, did she die? Did I miss that? Like she,
yeah.
It wasn't until they only mentioned her at the very end when, again, her mom just put in a request to be part of the decisions. And I think that was something that happened recently. But up to that point, not really discussed in it. And you think that, again, it goes back to the legality of it all. Like, you just wonder if she's not allowed saying anything or like where that.
I know. Kate, I felt the same way. I kind of felt like, you know, that word vault. I feel like everyone had to be like this vault of information. They weren't allowed to share it. And so as far as the authenticity of it all, I think they just pieced a lot of information together and came up with this. It have been nice to hear what her mom had to say, to be honest, not just because of the gender just because of the role that she had in Britney's life. And I know a lot of people in the industry, and my, you know, I know a lot of young people who were in arts and rich schooling and what that was like. Even that, their performances, hours and hours of, you know, stage work before the performance, I know what it's like. So, you know, parents usually look out for their kids for their best interest. But then I think in Hollywood, you start hearing, oh, well, you know, money came into it. Family members are hired. And then it gets all muddled. I think it just gets all pretty muddled because then the focus is generating the cash, not, you know, taking care of the mental health of that individual.
Well, and you know what, one thing I appreciate, you mentioned mental health there. One of the things I appreciated that was said, I can't remember who it was, but one of the interviewees made a comment and said that nobody had a language for mental health, even 10 years ago during the breakdown. They said they just saw her as crazy.
Yeah.
And that is absolutely true. Like, I mean, this was not a conversation that the culture had even, we had no frame of language for it.
No. And I think it's just really relevant. Like, I found that was something that you could tell we've obviously come a long way since then. Cause just, you know, how many people were poking fun at what clearly was watching somebody slowly unravel, and that, you know, people were making fun and making jokes. And it was just like, and again, that was really sad to sort of see it like that and see how hard that must have been for her to feel, and whether she was reading the headlines or not, it's still, you know, it has to be around her, you know, and all the photographers as well. I think that's just something that I could never and can never imagine that people have to live where they have no freedom.
You know what? The emotional safety for female celebrities back then was so precarious. And, you know, from some of the interviews and, you know, sort of the focal point of the interview, I just thought, you know what, it's pretty skewed here. And she's being put on the forefront and actually being shamed and judged for things that actually people wanted. Like, what about the people who marketed her that way and used her that way, right? I think that we're much more aware as people watching and listening as to what's okay and what's not okay, especially for female celebrities. I really want to highlight the gender part of this, because men get away with a lot more than, you know, the females do. Females get judged way more for how they're marketed and how, you know, in that celebrity landscape, I think.
Do you think that's changed though? Like, on it, like, I loved the fact at the beginning they didn't just show the clip. I've seen the clip with Ed McMahon. I've seen these things, but they reframed it, no pun intended, in such a way that you just went, oh, yeah. Like, it was only 5 years ago that they were asking on the red carpet, who are you wearing?
Yeah. And I think that, like, I still remember an interview that sticks in my head is Scarlett Johansson when she was doing one of the Avengers films, and people started asking what she was wearing underneath her outfit all the time. She just was like, that's not appropriate. That's not okay. So I do think that this is definitely something that's changed over time, but I hope that people are more protected by the people around them, that they know that that's not okay. And just society in general, which is hopefully more aware and being like, wait, that's not okay. So, yeah.
I think there's greater awareness, but we have a long, long way to go. I mean, as women, we're looking for an equal landscape, even just with salary. So when it comes to interviews, we still have a long way to go, but there's greater awareness. That's all I have to say about that one.
The question I would have then is, what can we or should we expect from our celebrities? Because the relationship has changed, but I don't know whether it's for the better or for the worse anymore. I mean, the development of Instagram culture, I mean, you're talking about the paparazzi. And one thing I wanted to say, Kate, when you're talking there, it reminded me, Princess Di literally died escaping the paparazzi. Like, but somehow it's become entirely new and almost embedded in a different way. So mm-hmm. what do we as a general public, what should we, or could, or what do you think we should expect from our celebrities?
I think that it's definitely very complicated because I think you said there's so much to be, there's so much access now to celebrities where, you know, they kind of control the narrative. So it's changing in the sense that before celebrities would have a very, you know, crafted, you know, publicist making sure they are saying the right things, setting up interviews and everything was laid out. This is how it's going to be. But with social media now, you know, they can kind of contact their fans how and when they want, and whether that's a good thing or whether that's bad, you know, sometimes it depends on the talent that's talking. I think though, you know, that almost makes it harder because at that point it becomes part of, you know, the general public's everyday life. So then they feel an ownership over it a little bit. Like it's such a turn into a, an even more symbiotic relationship that they need them to, you know, support. And yeah, so I think that it really, really depends on the celebrity and sort of the comfort level that they feel and sort of, you know, what they've created themselves. But, you know, whether, you know, Britney just made a comment last night talking about how she didn't support really the documentary, where looking at the facts within the documentary, it sounded like she supported the Free Britney movement. So it's, you know, celebrities are people and they change their minds too. So one day they may love signing for talent or for fans and being there. And then the next day they may be like, leave me alone. So, you know, it's hard to really figure out what the appropriate, you know, response is. I think it's just, you know, understanding that they are human and giving them the space when they request it, I think is ultimately what it is. They just have a really weird job and we all are fascinated by it. Yeah, that's
entertainment is a product that we pay for so that we can escape, right? For those of us that, you know, are really into movies and going to concerts, it's entertainment. It's a product that we pay for. Yet there is that fine line where, you know, we're dealing with some humans here that are selling this product. Because nowadays, it's not just the movie, it's not just the music, they're also selling merch, right? And so it's become a billion-dollar enterprise. So I guess the expectation is a good product. We want to be entertained, and especially right now during the pandemic, we want to, you know, we need some sort of an escape from this. So we really rely on this. Yet, I think, like Kate, you're saying, is there's a level of humanity that as, you know, watchers and enjoying all of this, we have to see, okay, you know what, this is just sort of this magical kind of experience, but, and they're just playing a role, that's it. But it does turn into fame because when you're in such a high profile, you're no longer human anymore. But I think the expectation is that we're going to get quality entertainment, and we want these people to be superhuman. Like they're not even human. I think that's the expectation. But there's that humanity piece that we need, that as people enjoying this, we need to see that they're human actually.
Yeah, I think the problem comes when we blur the line between product and reality. And the interesting thing is, in some ways, like you said, they, you know, celebrities know this, and they, I don't know. Like, I think, you know, one of the things I found, to backtrack a little bit here, I remember, I still get nervous when I'm talking to somebody high profile because they're high profile. But I got a lot less nervous when I realized they were a person who was doing their job and that's what they were talking about. And if somebody came and talked to me about the way I do my job, I would just be like, okay, this is, let me talk to you. But you know, it's interesting, Kate, that you mentioned the fact of them, you know, they have good days and they have bad days. I feel like everything is more fragile now than it was then. Like now a tweet can derail what you've spent years building. Whereas even back then, like what the Britney saga, and I'm not going, you know, I don't mean I don't, the breakdown, sorry, the break. Yeah. I'm trying to find a sensitive way to describe it. The breakdown was long, or it seemed long. It was happening over months. Now it can happen over an Instagram post. And it's really interesting. Like even the fact that this documentary has people, or it talks about those two women dissecting her posts. It's like the Da Vinci Code. It's like, she didn't use an emoji. She always uses an emoji. And I'm like, wow.
I know. Everybody's become a detective these days, right? But it's also, there's something, and as much as like, I never jumped on, like when the Free Britney movement was happening, I had a lot of people again reach out just to just mm-hmm. my thoughts on it. When the conservatorship first started, I remember being really happy that she had someone in place, because I remember that she obviously was, and again, obviously this hasn't been said, but you know, came across that she probably had bipolar disorder or some other mental health issues. And when Sam Lufthy was hanging around her, I really remember following it closely. And when her father stepped in with the conservatorship, it was sort of like, okay, now she's being taken care of. Because when Sam was around, she started cutting all these people out of her life, and Felicia was gone, and her manager Larry was gone. And like, and there was apparently rumors of her sister not talking. So when her dad came in for conservatorship, I remember being like, okay, now someone's taking care of her, because you didn't want her to be taken advantage of by a stranger, which is what was happening at the time. But then I think what really sort of, I remember when her documentary, the MTV doc, came out, and she talked about how, you know, things, you know, it seemed like she was doing much better from a mental health perspective. And she just felt like she wanted to be free of it. And I, that really stuck with me, because, you know, it, that was, again, like they said in this doc, the first time she ever spoke, you know, negatively or publicly about it. I still think now, as much as they say there isn't, they're trying to find all these hidden messages in their Instagram, you think that now she has a Chrome platform, she could do something about it. You'd assume that she could talk more vocally on social media. So there is that crypticness of it, where some of her posts are a little odd. And it's like, this is just such a strange, you know, post. She posted a refrigerator a couple of weeks ago and just said something about red. And it's like, so I can see that, you know, creating conversation, and, you know, everybody wants to be a detective these days. So I can see how that would just, you know, spark theories on the internet. But it's just, it's a mystery, really. Like, who knows?
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that the stories are the same, but it reminds me of the Tom Cruise 2005 couch jump in some ways, because at that time, Cruise fired his publicist, which was his sister. Oh, no, fired his longtime publicist and hired his sister, I think. I believe that's what it was. And the rumor was, is that she was saying, be more yourself. And then you started seeing things like the couch jumping and all this stuff. And again, like Britney's breakdown, the narrative spun entirely for several years, for a couple of years, until that changed again, where he went back to the old publicist, and all of a sudden he's Super Tom again, and he's doing Mission Impossible movies, and he's hanging out of airplanes, and it just amazes me how people are looking for a story. And I think in those moments we lose sight of the fact that these are real people. Real people that are struggling. They may have higher profile. They may have a lot more money than I do. Yeah. But they are human beings.
I always found it interesting that she spoke as well with, she speaks with a Southern accent unless she's in an interview. And then really? Like if you look at some of her tapes, or when she's like off camera behind the scenes, she'll speak with her, like what you'd assume is her, how she speaks, with a Southern accent. I mean, sometimes when I go back to home in Nova Scotia, I'll talk a little bit more like I'm from the East Coast. So maybe it's who she's around too, but I find that, you know, back to what you said, like even the, you know, sometimes the persona that people present might necessarily, you know, that stage Britney where she has a different, you know, her voice changes. So,
you know, when we talk about Britney, I kind of go back to the years of, oh gosh, what is her name? The blonde bombshell, Marilyn Monroe. Okay. she was a bird in a cage, right? And no matter how you cut it, like someone's always trying to get in and trying to kind of control sort of the goose with the golden egg. And I feel like that's what it is. Like, does she really have people that really care for her and want to take care of her? I kind of feel like that was the idea about the conservatorship, right? That she really didn't have clarity. And that's why that was put into place. I don't think it really publishes the fact that she has some mental health challenges. I think we're all kind of saying, oh yeah, that's the reason why. Does it state that, Kate? Do you know that the conservatorship was all about because she didn't have her mental health capacity?
I personally think that it had to do, they were holding her kids at, like, a ransom a bit, and that she wasn't able to see her kids for a certain amount of time. And I think that she just like, this is what we have laid out for you. This is what we think is best. If you agree to this, then you get to see your kids again. Or at least that's how it was presented in the doc as well. So I think I think she's always loved her children and always has been a great mom, you know, comparative to what everybody says, you know, of all those, you know, paparazzi photos. I think she's a great mom. And I think, you know, that was the one thing that was so important to her. So I, you know, that's how they presented it in the doc. And I agree that that probably is most likely. I think talking about conservatorships, it's interesting. We've just worked on a movie called I Care a Lot, which has Rosamund Pike and Peter Dinklage. And it also talks about conservatorship. And, you know, a lot of people who are the Free Britney fans really latched on to the film once it was released, because it talks about Rosamund taking, you know, over an older woman's, you know, finances, and just kind of little does she know that her son, Peter Dinklage, is in the mob. So it kind of turns into this like comedy where he's trying to get his mother back. And I guess it's a dark comedy, I would say. But if Britney is of sound mind and right now, and she's making requests for her conservatorship, why is she not able to make those changes? Carolot touches a lot on that too. Like, it's, you know, obviously fiction, not a true story, but, you know, it raises a lot of questions about, you know, these things that are put in place for people. It seems like once it's made, this is the deal. It's hard to get out of it, which.
Yeah.
And then what happens if situations change? Like, especially in this case with Britney, where it seems like she's worked on her mental health and seems to be, you know, capable of going on world tours. You assume if you have that kind of mental capacity, you can do that. That you should
absolutely
take care of everything. And keeping, if she wants her father off, that's just how it should be. Like, it doesn't make sense to be such a big deal. If even someone else is in place to protect her estate and all of that.
You know what? It actually takes a great amount of resilience to perform like that.
Yeah.
I've been around stage kids for a really long time, and it takes a great amount of resilience to remember lines, juggle, you know, schooling and, you know, do well on stage. Now, you know, I've seen her shows even after the conservatorship, you know, through the doc, and I'm like, wow, she's an incredible performer still. And thing is, she's saying, okay, you know what? I get the conservatorship, but I just don't want Jamie, my dad, to be in charge of it. And so that's to me, very telling. She knows that she needs it. She'll concede to it, but she just doesn't want her dad to have conservatorship. To me, that's great clarity. And also she says, I'm not going to perform again until Jamie's not the conservator. And so she has clarity there. And why not give her that? I think that there's a lot of dollar signs there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it never occurred to me that until the end of the doc, when they said the conflict of interest, because the conservatorship is paying for all of their lawyers.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know.
It is awkward.
I know.
So
the point of the doc, when they call it a hybrid business model, it's like, how is that not red flags at like to a million people? Like, how, I'm no lawyer, obviously, but or no judge.
Well, her dad, I think, receives a percentage. I think it's 1% of all, you know, monies that come in. That's quite a bit of money.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all in his best interest. And, you know, you got to think of what kind of work goes behind it as well. Like, I want to know what's his day-to-day look like and managing that estate. Like, is it really that much work? Or is it just, you know, sitting back, making sure that she's not, you know, meeting bad people or whatever. But yeah, it's definitely interesting to see how it's going to go forward. And the fact that her mother came forward and said that she wants to be part of her daughter's decisions as well, because hopefully that, you know, it seems like her relationship with her mother is a little bit stronger. So.
Yeah. Jamie does not get good press in this film. Again, it would have been really nice if you're like you said, somebody who had some familial connection. I mean, the Felicity was great. That was a good get, but it still would have been nice to have somebody who could speak to the personal side. So
I just almost wonder though, if she got permission from the family to speak, because I feel like their relationship is so, and if the mother is not allowed to speak, that's the only thing that I can assume, is that there must be some, like, it's the New York Times did the doc. You figure that's a pretty legitimate site. There's also been rumors though that Britney's doing a tell-all interview with Oprah.
I know, I read that too.
Which is we all see what Oprah can do. But
I'd be surprised if that really happens, Kate, because the conservatorship basically says yes or no to who you hang out, who you get interviewed by, which, you know, things you sign, you know, which shows you sign off on, et cetera. So I'd be very surprised.
Mm-hmm. Well, having said this, then here's a question is, do you think, we've sort of talked about this a little bit, but do you think the conservatorship crossed the line? Do you think that it's gone too far? What aspect of, like we've said, there seems to be a need, again, from what we know, which is very little. So in your opinion, what do you think?
I feel like it was very telling when the lack of performance that she did announcing her residency, the amount of work that it goes into, you know, putting that together and having those people there. And she's definitely loves her fans. So I feel like that would be hard for her to do, just walking on by. I feel like that was, you know, kind of a point of the film too, where I was like, whoa, like she's telling us how she feels. She's not going to perform anymore. Mm. So I think, you know, if actions speak louder than words, I think that that's pretty telling of how she feels about it.
It's a hard one. I think the conservatorship was probably needed, but the way the conservatorship goes, once you're in it, it's hard to get out of it.
Yeah.
But I feel like it could be done better. There's got to be some measurables here, you know, where there are professional medical assessments identifying whether this person can actually, you know, move out of what state the conservatorship is. I think that there should be different levels of conservatorship, but in this case, there's just one, it seems. I'm not a professional at conservatorship, but in anything for mental health, what you want is for people to get better. You don't want people to be caged in. You want them to be able to grow, to have resources, and also launch into a better direction. But I just feel like this conservatorship doesn't allow for that for anyone. From my understanding and from what I've read, it's like once you're in, you're in. And it doesn't matter how much money Britney has, the great house that she lives in, where she's able to travel, she's still a caged bird.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, again, we only know what we know I think it's funny that the only lawyer that speaks is the one that only was with them for a little while. And then there was the magic folder that, that he doesn't know what's in. And so he's sort of giving legal counsel to a case that he's not in. But I certainly agree. I think the question is, I think a lot of it comes down to trust. You think of Kate, you mentioned I Care a Lot, which I actually really like that movie. And I'm not just saying it because Elevation was involved in it. I actually think that movie, it's a very dark comedy. Mm-hmm. But you have somebody who poses in that you can be trusted, then they gut you because of their stockholders. And I thought of this too. I thought, you know what, the good thing of this, it sounds like, okay, well, yeah, maybe we can get the bank to be the conservatorship. And then I start thinking, I'm like, but is the bank going to be in your best interest? Like, the bank is worried about their stockholders.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know the relationship between her and her father. It's clear she doesn't want him involved. That's clear. And the film sort of hints that he was not involved much in her life or career. But I mean, like, who do you trust when you're that big?
Yeah. How do you find authentic relationships?
Yeah.
Like, she has, has met somebody and has a boyfriend and talks about him on social media. And it's like, I don't know how complicated that must be to try to meet people and authentic relationships and like, and how you can trust somebody on that level. No idea.
It's complicated. I have quite a number of people in the industry, and you say to yourself, okay, I think before anyone launches into the industry, they have to have a pretty healthy life. So your inner circle is healthy. Your mental health is healthy. I feel like the reason why a lot of these stars, a lot of these actors are good at what they do is because their EQ is super high. They're really great at understanding character. They can do incredible monologues on whatever, I'm sure, but they're very good at what they do. But you know what? Having a high EQ also lends itself to some mental health issues, I think, because you're feeling everything. So you're kind of taking a look at, do the fans love me? You know, what's happening with my old relationships? All these things are looped over and you're overworked. And I think a lot of us watching them say, oh, wow, they live such a wonderful life, but we don't realize the struggle.
Well, that's interesting, too, because it may have been Felicity, but doesn't she say at one point that she looked the happiest she'd ever been? One of the high points of my life was seeing how much she was loved. And she's referring to her on stage. It's such an interesting relationship. Like, I think they actually said she loves that part, the performance, the relationship with the audience, because everyone there at those concerts, they're there. Nobody buys $100 ticket to see Britney Spears so they can throw a beer can at her.
Right.
That's not how it works. Exactly.
They're all big fans. And I think getting that amount of energy, just like physical energy and people screaming and cheering your name, must be such a high after when you get off, you know, the stage. Like, she must just feel a natural, you know, burst or something, you'd assume. But yeah, I think that it's definitely complicated though to be a celebrity. And I think, you know, Chrissy Teigen going on Twitter is an example of that.
Oh yes.
Grown woman, married, kids. And it goes back very emotionally intelligent, it seems, and mm-hmm. to leave social media because it was so bad. And it's like, you know, and people are saying, don't read it. Don't, you know, don't feel it. But I think, you know, Meghan Markle said in her interview with Oprah, like, she wasn't reading it, but you can still have sense it and it's still around. And if you are trying to even respond to people who do like you, you're going to pass 5 tweets of people who are slamming you. So it's like, how, if you're seeing it that much and they're, you know, keyboard warriors, how are you not going to take it personally in some level? Like, well, they're, again, back to the point that they're human. So, you know, they're not these people we put on pedestals all of the time. They still have thoughts and feelings and insecurities like everybody else. So I think that, you know, yeah, Chrissy Teigen leaving Twitter was a big kind of eye-opener, I'm sure, for a lot of people, that not everybody's invincible and words do matter.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up, because I mean, here's a woman who's been grieving the loss of a miscarriage.
Yeah.
Her child. And people are cutting her down. Oh, because you're so privileged and all this. I've read some of them. They're horrendous. Mm. And again, I think it goes back to the idea of the separation of the image from essentially the soul of the person, right? It's like the image is such a flat thing that as a casual viewer, in some ways we feel like we own it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, but we feel like we do, or we should. And that becomes so toxic. It's like the internet. The internet is a terrible place.
Yeah, but I know.
Our listeners are wonderful.
And I think I also don't want to say that, you know, being a celebrity is all bad. Like, look at what else they do. Do you know what I mean? The cars they have, the places they go, the places they eat, the things they do. Like,
mm-hmm.
I want a piece of that and want to know what that feels like and how fun that must be. So, like, I think that there's also, you know, that is driving it. I think I read somewhere it used to be keeping up with the Joneses, you know, when you had a neighborhood, you wanted to keep up with the Joneses, but now it's literally keeping up with the Kardashians. Like, there's so absolutely. Many people that are trying to, you know, live like they do and have parties like they do. And, you know, it's absolutely unattainable for the average person. But I think that everybody would love to, you know, live the life of a celebrity for one day to have all that. Because how great would that be too, you know? So it's definitely complicated.
I've noticed, though, some of the celebrities that have greater purpose seem to be healthier. So, you know, if it's not just about the fans, if it's not just about the applause, it's about what they can do with the platform that I think makes a celebrity healthier. So your inner circle becomes a little bit more authentic, because it's not just about fame. It's not just about the dollar signs. It's actually about, okay, what greater good can I do with this platform? So, you know, you see Leo out there doing a ton of stuff for the earth and animals. And I'm like, wow, that's incredible, isn't it? You know, he's using his platform to bring out awareness. And there's a lot of stars like Angelina Jolie. She goes out there and brings greater awareness to a lot of needs out there in the world, and so on and so on. So I do think that, when these stars become more mature and they understand, wow, you know, it is flat. You know, what I do it because I love it, but it's really impacted me negatively. And if they have some good people surrounding them, they'll say, hey, let's take our eyes off of ourselves. Let's see what we can do with this platform. And, so I do see that the conservatorship is trying to help individuals like Britney to keep her safe, et cetera. But why not give her greater purpose? Maybe that would have been way more beneficial than just putting her in a cage so that everybody could still be paid.
You know, it's hard to, you know, everybody you listed there is in their 40s.
Yeah.
Britney was 15 when this started. And we don't take care of our youth and our young celebrities, or most in many of the cases that I've the stories we've heard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how common is the story of the child star breakdown? You know, it's own narrative.
Justin Bieber, I think he's a great example. You know, you give any kid $40 million or how much money he had, and look, he's come around, he's growing up, he understands, he's, you know, figuring it out. But like, yeah, of course you're going to act like that if you had that much money at that age and you know, and that privilege then. And it's, you know, I mean, again, he seems to have a pretty good inner circle, and he came back around and he seems to be leading a pretty great life right now. So,
yeah, I was the same way with my first 40 mil.
Exactly.
Well, ladies, this is great and we could keep going, but I want to be sensitive to your time. So maybe we should screen it or skip it. Framing Britney Spears, screen it or skip it?
I would screen it. and would recommend, if you haven't watched it, to watch it. I think it opens up the conversation for mental health, and I think understanding conservatorship, because I think that's just an interesting piece that I didn't know about until recently. And I think that it's just always good to educate yourself about what's out there.
Screen it, because the world cares. There's a lot of people out there concerned about her, and they don't want anything terrible to happen to her. So there are good people out there looking out for you, even when they don't know you. So, you know, humankind really comes out in this documentary, and there are a ton of people who care. So I like it. It was a good one.
Yeah, it's a screen it for me, especially since it's on streaming. So it's not like, you know, you need to pay $40 to watch. I would say, as I said before, the negative I have for it is that I feel like there's a lot of holes for us to truly know what's, I mean, we don't need to know what's going on, but for the story to sort of try and tell us, but they don't have a lot of information themselves. But having said that, I think that this actually, like, to me, it was a much better documentary than I expected, because this is a film that is looking at the big picture. This is a film that's looking for caring for a mother. This is a film that is looking at the damage we've done as a culture to our celebrities. And this is a film that is looking at sort of the gender issues at play that we're trying to reprocess now. And I think for those reasons, this is a fabulous documentary. I thought it was really, 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 really good. So yes, it's a screen it for me from that regard.
Two thumbs up.
If you're not going to see Godzilla versus Kong, you might as well.
Exactly.
Ladies, this has just been a fantastic conversation. I'm so grateful that you could talk with us today. Thank you so much. Reminder for all of you at home that you can get us wherever podcasts are available. And if you go to the podcast page at screenfish.net, you can download Fishing for More, which can help get the conversation started where you are if you decide to see the film. Reminder, we will be back next week. But ladies, I thank you again so much for chatting with me. And for you at home, we started the conversation. This was Screenfish.